following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
To be here again, it's a joy. I'm very glad to be with you and very thankful for the number of people in this church family who are getting my newsletters and praying for me. So that's very, very special to be able to be here with you and the whole family here. So I'd like to give you greetings from the church leadership of the União da Igreja Evangélica de Angola, and that's Portuguese for saying Union of Evangelical Churches in Angola. It's a church that SIM, Serving in Mission Canada, is partnering with in Angola. And in particular, where I am, it's for the outreach to the Ovamwila people, a people group that in the 90s was quite unreached and is being reached. And that's the people group where I'm working at a rural health center. And I have to point this over there, don't I? Okay. Anyway, the Rio de Huila Medical Center is an outreach to the Ovamwila people, and it's to care for their needs physically, emotionally, spiritually. It's to bring the Word of God. So we have sharing times of the Word of God with the patients, and when we're working with the patients, we're praying with them, we're counseling, and bringing the love of God to the patients, not only at the actual Rio de Huila Center, but also where we go in the community with our community health program, with children under five being vaccinated, with pregnant moms being vaccinated, clean water program, and our tuberculosis program, prevention of malaria, and prevention of leprosy, but that's not an issue anymore. We're only on vigilance now for that, making sure there's no new cases. It's a tremendous opportunity and privilege to be able to bring the Word of God to people who, if they didn't have the Word, they wouldn't know that Jesus Christ came to save them. They need the Word of God. And what I'd like to say, just initially, while we're at this particular point, so those of you who have been praying and receiving my newsletters, we have a dental project, which is a pilot. This is an early project, but it's prevention for children, prevention of dental cavities. And it is to in treatment of the children so that they can keep the teeth in their mouth. And it's actually, in our area in Angola, most people, they only visit the dentist when their tooth is hurting, and then it's to get it pulled. It's too late to actually save the teeth and keep them in the mouth. So this little project is to minister to the children. So in having them get together and hear the Word of God, be blessed, have fun together and hear the Word and have their teeth kept in their mouth. It's an initiative that is very exciting, and we're looking to expand it in the next few years because we have three Angolans who are studying to be dentists. One will finish this year, and two will finish in 2 years to come. And the other initiative in the community that some who have been getting my newsletters, and I hope some more of you will actually sign up for my newsletters and keep attuned for more news, is a project with algae spirulina. And it is microscopic, it's green in water, as you can see from the slide, and it is harvested by taking it through a filter, and then in the filter, it then is pressed, and then we dry it, and the dried form can be added to food. It's rich in vitamins, especially vitamin A, in iron, and it is 65% protein. That's more protein per gram than meat is. So it's an excellent food supplement, and it's for our tuberculosis patients at the hospital. We have a significant tuberculosis program. Many of the patients who come to us from other areas in the province, even from other provinces, they don't have enough food, let alone have good quality food. So this protein supplement, spirulina, will help them get better quicker, which is really important for tuberculosis in Angola because there it is out of control still. It's a lot of people are still getting tuberculosis, and they get bone tuberculosis, which is a medical indicator for how bad the tuberculosis situation is in the country, that we actually have cases still of bone tuberculosis. And the spirulina is one of the ways in which we are combating this problem so that we can, at this stage, it's at a small scale. We're learning how to work with the spirulina. And then in this next year, we hope to build 4 large surface area tanks. And those tanks will be sufficient for the production of spirulina for our tuberculosis patients and for malnourished children in the area. So it's one way in which this little community village hospital can minister to the needs in the community. We have in the area of the Mumwila people, there is 17% malnutrition amongst the children. And so that's really high, 17%. One in 5 children are malnourished simply because the area is so marginal in the agricultural production. People depending on the rain for a good harvest, and some years the rain comes well and some years it doesn't. And then also the actual cultural practices of the people that in terms of their worship of ancestral spirits and a lot of drinking that is part of the cultural practices. And a lot of that happens when people could be preparing their fields for harvest or for planting. There's that cultural element that is impeding good agricultural production. But we see for those who have come to know the Lord and are worshiping the Lord and learning from the Word what it is to receive from the Lord with gratitude and work with all that one has in one's hands and trust the Lord for production, for the results of that, and then have enough to share with other people. And so those individuals who are now of the Ovumwila people, who are our brothers and sisters in the Lord, becoming grounded in the Word, they are seeing a difference in this. So in this slide, there is a gentleman, and I actually said I wasn't going to point, but I think I am, so let's figure out if I can do it. I have to point here. This gentleman here also sends you greetings, and his name is Nandu, not of the family that started Nandu's, but that chicken is authentic. That really is the way the Portuguese do really nice chicken. But anyway, that's Nandu, and his name is Fernando Muzulewa, and he's our administrator for the hospital, and he's actually the acting director while I'm not there. And I was just talking to him yesterday, and we were talking, and then we had a bit of a prayer time on Skype. And he particularly had wanted prayer because he had experienced just a couple nights ago an oppressive kind of dark thing holding him and while he was about 1 o'clock in the morning. And so he prayed and he asked God for protection, and he resisted that force in the name of Jesus, and then it lifted. This is the kind of spiritual dynamic that is very prevalent where I am in Angola. It's actually not only there, it's actually everywhere. But the enemy does not want the Word of God to go out. So what Nandu did was that he used James 4:7. It's one of my favorite verses. James 4:7 is really easy to memorize. Submit to God, resist the enemy, and he will flee from you. Actually, could we say that? Submit to God, resist the enemy, and he will flee from you. So that's what Nandu did at 1 o'clock in the morning for that thing to get off him. I myself have had times like that. I had one time of horrific chest pain. I was lying in bed. These things happen at night often. Lying in bed, terrific chest pain. Here, I'm turning this way, I'm turning that way. I'm thinking, no, this is not a heart attack. No, this is not gastritis. It's, you know, when you're a doctor and you're trying to diagnose yourself, you know. No, this is not esophagitis. No, no, no. No, I don't think it's malaria. No, it's not the chest wall. No, no, it's not. This is the enemy is trying to get me. Okay, so I resist. Submit to God, resist the enemy. And then, after a little bit, the chest pain went. But as the chest pain went, my feet, both of them, started to have an intense pain. And then I thought to myself, you think you're so smart. I wasn't actually, that was to the enemy. And so resisting the enemy again, say, no, get out. You must leave in the name of Jesus Christ. You must. And that passed. I want that we would take a couple of minutes, and if I may disturb you, if you would... stand. Would you stand with me if you're able? Stand with me to read this scripture together, because this particular scripture is really good standing. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the world's rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take to yourselves the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Therefore, stand, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Thank you. You may be seated. This is very important. We have the armor, which we read about. We have the shield, which is one hand, and it's the Roman shield of that time was very big. And then in your other hand, you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that's the one that is active, and your other hand is very active as well. Both hands are engaged. And you can't do this sitting down. You have to be standing. You have to be engaged. Now, Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. He came to save the lost so that the lost may know Jesus and love him. Let's see how this works. This gentleman here, his name is Chikena. He's one of our lab workers. He's not a lab technician. He's a lab aide. But he has an amazing testimony of deliverance from alcoholism when he was imbibing alcohol from age 13, nearly died three times during his early years because of alcoholism. And he used to work for me in my garden at Rio de Vila, and then later on became one of the workers at the hospital. But he would tell me about these experiences that he would have, these black, ugly beasts coming, or these things coming against his family, and how, as a believer, he would submit to God and resist the enemy, and those things fled. When he first started telling me about some of these things, I was perplexed, but I began to see that it was really true. He wasn't making it up. It was really true what he was experiencing. An amazing testimony where he would frequently have temptations to adultery. Girls would come after him. And he and his wife have this amazing relationship. In Africa, men talk to men, women talk to women. It's very rare for a man and a woman is in a married relationship to be best friends. Very rare for them to converse their hearts one with the other. But that's different for Chikenna and Deolinda. They have a beautiful relationship of oneness of conversation, and yet the enemy would attack, and he would have time after time and after time these beautiful young ladies coming after him, and he'd be resisting, and he'd have these horrible attacks at night. He'd wake up his wife. He said, "We have to pray." So they would pray, and they would pray, and then the attack would lift off. He grew strong through that. He gained courage through that. He knew his Lord through that. He knew the Word. And with that, he is one of a tremendous evangelist. He has planted a church, he didn't actually plant it initially, but it is now the church that he is involved in Chitunda. And it's a little church of children and adolescents, dynamic, full of love for the Lord. And this little church of children and adolescents mostly has now planted two more churches. They have their own daughter churches. They go out on a Saturday, they're visiting people in their homes and going from house to house and sharing the Word of God. And then out of that came a new church. And then they went to another community because that other community said, "We want one too." And so then they did it there. And they have another church there. And it's a beautiful work of the Lord. But to get to those churches, Chikenna and his wife have to go on his motorcycle through an area that is actually quite dangerous, known for bandits. And it's all Mumwila area, but that particular area is full of bandits and assassins. And women are terribly oppressed in that area. They're at risk of, beating, which is sort of common, and then even to be killed by their husbands if they get out of line, or if their husbands suspect them of something. Like, it can be an instant justice. And I knew of a woman that was killed not too long ago in that area in a horrific way. And because her husband suspected her that afternoon of having done something, and she had other people to appeal to, but he wouldn't have anything of it. And she was killed in the presence of a lot of people around. So that's the kind of area that Chikenna and Deolinda have to drive through as they're going to the particular churches that they're involved in with taking the Word. And he was almost killed one time. He was going along on his motorcycle, and then some people approached him, and they're getting him to stop the motorcycle. And then a woman a little bit further ahead, she came up. She said, "Oh, Chikenna, how are you? How are you doing?" It turned out to be a distant relative of his. Had she not, and she actually was with that group who were stopping his motorcycle. If she had not recognized him, they said they were going to kill him. So it's not there are dangers, but Chikenna has learned that he's safe in the arms of Jesus. He's safe lifting up the shield of faith against all the fiery darts of the enemy. And he takes hold of the Word of God. We are not cowering behind a shield of faith. That's not our position. We are standing with the shield of faith, and that's where we're standing, and we have the Word of God in our right hand. Use the Word of God. So it's someone like Chikenna knows the Word of God. He's internalized it. He's using it. He's reaching out with others to many other Mumwila people. There's one of the Mumwila churches in the area called Bambi, the Bambi Church, and it's grown by leaps and bounds. And when I look at that church, and I say, wow, that's really something. What happened? One of the things that church did early when they were just first-generation Christians, this was in the 90s, The whole church memorized the scripture of God. The adults, the adolescents, and the children. They would rehearse their verses every single week. They were rehearsing the verses from the Word of God, that the Word of God got into their hearts so that when situations came up, they had the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, to bring that to mind. They take hold of the sword of the Spirit and put up the shield of faith and resist and be firm and strong in their faith and go forward. Jesus himself, when he was tempted three times, what did he do? Every single temptation, when he was tempted by Satan to transform rock into bread, it was what he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the same for the other temptation, he would throw himself down from the pinnacle of the temple. And Jesus responded, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And when Satan tempted him, this is in Matthew 4, that tempted him to worship him, and he would give him all the kingdoms of the world, as if he could. And this Jesus said, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone you shall save. That is using the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word. Yeah. The Word is so very, very important. And I'm really pleased as I look back now over the outreach to the Open Wheel of People, and I don't have a lot of time to tell you about this, so I'll just be very brief on this, that the Bible is being translated. There are four books that are just about to be published, just about. And there is a series of 27 study books that have been translated from Portuguese into Lumwila, the language of this people group. And they've been translated, and they're now being checked and to be ready for publication. So that's in progress. And there's literacy work happening amongst the Open Wheel of People. And there are a couple of other missionaries who work with me amongst the Open Wheel of People, and that's their area. The Word is so very important. At Chitunda village, which is where Chikena has that church, where there are the children and the adolescents, there's these two young ladies. They decided, and it was a joy for me back in, it was in May, just before coming home on home assignment. I went to Chitunda church, and these two ladies were there. They had decided that they would, in response to Jesus Christ, having already come to faith in Jesus Christ, that they would divest themselves of all the things in their life that they had accumulated that were amulets or that had occult powers attached to them. And those things, which look pretty innocuous, but they're like some false hair there and some bits of cloth and there's a bone and there's other things that they don't look like much, but they were things that were imbued with negative occult spiritual powers that they were trusting in for protection and health for themselves and for their family. And they decided following Jesus Christ meant no more of that. And even though their husbands are not believers and they are at risk of getting beaten, they are at risk of getting quite the negative impact from their family and their neighbors, they decided that they would get rid of all these things. And it was a burning ceremony. So after the service, they all made a big bonfire. Other people who had already done this stood up and gave testimony. We also have done this. We are not putting our trust in those things anymore, in the spirits. No, we are putting our trust in Jesus Christ. And so with that, then it was all burned. And they took this really important step of breaking off with what they had been putting their faith in and putting their faith in Jesus Christ alone. So like our brothers and sisters, we have those same challenges and those same decisions to make. Every day. I have them every day. From the beginning of the day to the end of the day. Are we trusting in God, in his word, standing on the promises of his word, or are we trusting in other things, of which there are many that we could try to trust in? We affirm and stand on the promises of the word. We're confident in the one we serve, our God in whom we know. There are all sorts of attacks that could come, the fiery darts. Those attacks, whether it's a temptation to be fearful, a temptation to be quarrelsome, a temptation to be impatient, there are many, many of these. But that's where the fiery dart comes. We lift up the shield of faith and we say, no, the word says this, and I stand on the word of God. To not be afraid, because the blood of Jesus has us covered. And we stand tall in faith, in love, and worship of our God. And the time is short. Jesus said, talked about it being day, and that he must do what he was sent to do before the nightfall came. It's daytime now, but the time is short. And there are many people around us, our friends, our colleagues, our family, who are yet lost, who need to know Jesus Christ. And we are the ones who have the light, the salt, the word of God to share with those who are around us. Just to remind me, this is my prayer card. I would be honored if you would like to get my newsletters for prayer updates to pray for me. There's a sheet out in the foyer to sign up for this with your email address. Prayer is what is fueling the work. Nothing happens outside of resting within Jesus Christ, the branches in the vine, in Jesus Christ. So your prayers make a difference and are really important. The stakes are high. The stakes are really high, because if we don't do this while it's day, then how will it happen? Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who loves us so much that he died on the cross for us, wants us and takes great pleasure in us sharing Jesus with our family, with our neighbor, with our colleague, with that person we don't even know their name. We're at the shop and we bless them. In our heart, we pray for them. We might have an opportunity to speak with them. But it's because of Jesus' love. So thanks. Thanks for this time. And it's been a pleasure being able to be with this family of God. And your sharing in the gospel, the outreach of the gospel in Angola, amongst the Ovamwila people, our brothers and sisters, and the other people groups in Angola that are yet also to be reached. I head back to Angola, leaving Canada November 7th, and hope to be in Lubango, and then at Rio de Vila November 13th. So thanks for your prayers, thanks for your kind attention this morning, and may God bless you, and bless you mightily as you stand, and the shield of faith against all those fiery darts that just bounce off then, and the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Eric.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.